Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kerry Stevenson. Today, I've asked Michael Hudson. He's the Managing Director of Southern Cross Gold. The ASX code is SXG. Just listed last week, 16th of May, 2022 on the ASX. A really interesting project, which is quite a long way along, if you like. I wonder if that's the way you should say it. But lots of work has been done down there in Victoria. Michael, great to see you. Thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Kerry, always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, there's been lots of companies listing it on the ASX, but the thing I like about Southern Cross Gold is it's a spin out from Mawson. If you can just, I guess, you've just listed, so talk to us about why Mawson decided to spin out this particular project into Southern Cross Gold.
So Mawson Gold is a TSX listed company, a company I co-founded many years ago. Over the last 3 years, Mawson has drilled out 1 million ounces in Finland through grassroots discovery. We are also exploring here in Australia. And the Finnish asset is now moving towards early stage economic studies, EIA permitting. It's a very different story than an exploration story in isolation. And COVID has carved up the world, and those damn Canadians have taken all the good stuff from Victoria. We thought it was an opportunity to bring it back home.
Oh, good on you. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. He's bringing it home. That's a good story in itself. Well done. It's only just listed. Can you talk about the spin out in numbers? Talk to us in numbers. How does it work? What did you raise? What price? Where to from here?
Sure. So the story of Southern Cross really started on the ASX back in December, so 4 or 5 months ago, when we raised $2.7 million in a pre-IPO. So that's when we cut the umbilical cord with Mawson, and we were self-funded. At that point in time, Mawson took shares for its interest in Southern Cross, and then we IPO'd that entity and raised $9.1 million. So we've raised close to $12 million since December for these assets. We have a large shareholder in Mawson that owns 60%. They're escrowed for 2 years, so they can't sell any shares for 2 years. So we're very tightly structured. The only shareholders are those that came in during the pre-IPO and the IPO, and directors, et cetera, myself, wrote significant dollars to back ourselves and to show faith in this company. We have 156 million shares outstanding, of which 93 million are escrowed, the Mawson shares predominantly, and directors. We have made a freehold purchase. We can talk about that on the land on one of our projects. So that has taken the kitty down to around $8 million today after the IPO costs and the like. We've been drilling through the whole IPO process. So we've got something like 10 holes for 2,800 metres, of which we've just released some of those results, but those assays are still in the lab. So we've got a pre-built in news flow. The rig is continuing to drill. We have three projects, three of the nine epizonal projects. So these Fosterville lookalikes, three of the nine historic fields in Victoria. So we're looking around old fields, and the key flagship project that we should focus on today here will be Sunday Creek. So that's broadly the numbers. Well funded, very tight structure, with lots of baked in news flow.
Talk to me about Mawson having a 60% of the company. Yes, it's tightly held. Yes, they're escrowed for 2 years. Have they got a seat on the board? Have they got much to do with the day-to-day running of the company? I want to kind of understand, because it feels almost like a joint venture, if you like.
Well, there is certainly a commonality of people. I still am the executive chairman at the moment of Mawson, and there's one other common director in David Henstridge who sits on both boards. And then we have two other independent directors, Chairman Tom Eadie and Georgina Carnegie in Southern Cross. So there's a four-person board. So there is some overlap. There's no royalties. There's just the shareholding that exists. And it is a very good outcome in that Mawson chose not to distribute early on to its shareholders because it had the choice to do so. They see strategic value in holding this block of Southern Cross. Southern Cross shareholders in 2 years will face the position where Mawson will be free trading, but they, due to listing rules, they won't be able to sell greater than 19.9% without going to shareholders, disinterested shareholders, so those not including Mawson, to seek if they wish to sell. But at this stage, there's no aim to sell. We may be able to discuss further escrow periods going forward. You know, it is all in the same house, but Southern Cross shareholders have benefited by a relatively low valuation that Mawson's been able to spin this out at, and Mawson sees the benefit here in the upside. So we're all in it together in the same tent to create something big and large.
Thank you, because that explains it a little bit. Now, you've got some very wide, high-grade continuous zones, but Michael, before I get into that, this is an area, you're an Aussie, but you've been working overseas for a long time, but you know this area pretty well. Just let us know about why you like this area, what you think the upside is for those current shareholders and also those people that are looking at going Southern Cross Gold, I don't know much about it. Why do you like this area in Victoria?
Victoria is one of the supersonic orogenic gold fields of the world. There's only two orogenic gold fields that matter in Australia, Kalgoorlie, the Golden Mile, and Victoria. But Victoria was supersonic in the 1800s. And then in the 1900s and the 2000s, it's been forgotten. It really has been forgotten through a whole lot of reasons, that the capital markets and the emphasis went across to the West. And it's only in the last few years, literally the last 5 years, where we've seen this renaissance of the Victorian gold fields, where we're producing more gold today than we have for 100 years in the state.
Oh, wow.
And most importantly, we have two of the top 10 highest grade gold mines in the world in our backyard here, and one of those being the first in Fosterville. So it's rewritten this geological opportunity here that, you know, Victoria, and I swore that, and I perhaps had a wanderlust for travel when I was younger, that I'd never come back to Victoria and work. It all seemed too hard. Wow. There wasn't an analogue that was appealing to investors nor major companies to explore for, because those ounces that came out of Victoria were easy for the old timers in the 1800s to mine, but they were nuggety and very hard to put together into a modern bankable resource, which we need to today. Okay. So it's only the discovery of Fosterville over the last 5 years that is a very different geological age and event that has formed that deposit compared to the Ballarats and Bendigos, for example. So this whole new search space, this whole new opportunity to look for Fosterville-style deposits, which are epizonal, we call them epizonal, us geologists, we like having fancy words, is now the opportunity. And that's why we've taken three of the nine historic fields, we've done deals on them or bought them outright to explore under the head frame. And there's no better way to do it. And nobody has looked in Victoria literally for those 100 years because of that non-compelling situation until it changed. Looking for the highest grade gold mine in the world, analog, is a pretty good reason to come back to Victoria and try and replicate that.
You mentioned Fosterville. Are you close to, is this on the same sort of geographical structure? Is what you've got on that sort of structure? I mean, Victoria is known as having very nuggety, hard to process gold. What is the difference that you've suddenly got? Why has it taken so long to figure out what's down there in Victoria?
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, yes, we abut Agnico Eagle, who own Fosterville, we abut their licenses in one of our projects. We're all within, you know, 50 kilometres of Fosterville and the other projects, and it is the same geological event. It's the same style of gold as Fosterville, and we don't need to go into the detail, but certainly it is an analogue, and that's what you need to be looking for in Victoria.
When you say it's an analogue, what do you mean by that?
So geologists love putting things in boxes, and we see certain characteristics in one deposit and we go looking for those characteristics elsewhere in the world. Fosterville is formed very differently to Bendigo and Ballarat. So we have to look at those certain characteristics of Fosterville that have made it what it is and where it is, and we apply that knowledge into other areas. And it's not such a jump when you've got the adjacent permit with a historic mining camp with those same criteria or those same analogous features.
And is that Sunday Creek? Is that the Sunday Creek project that we're talking about that is so close to Fosterville?
Sunday Creek's a little further southeast. It's about 50 kilometres. Redcastle is abutting both Costerfield, which is another one of these style of deposits, and the seventh highest grade gold mine on earth today. And then we have another third project, Roo, which is a little bit further north.
Roo, gotta love that one. All right, so you listed last week. You've already done a lot of exploration. You've got, is it just one rig on there at the moment?
We've got one rig at the moment that's been turning through the whole IPO process, and we were only listed a week ago. So we've got a banked up 10 holes, six went out, and then we've got another four to come. The rig's still turning, and you should see more news flow. Here's a bit of a tip where another rig at least will come to site shortly. That's our aim. We're on a fast track here. We've got a discovery. We're not wasting time.
When you say you've got a discovery, talk to us about that. Where is it? How is it? What work has been done? What have you uncovered? And what are you looking for?
Yeah, so the flagship project, as I mentioned, is Sunday Creek. Sunday Creek is an old historic epizonal field that was mined during the 1800s and extended literally over 10 kilometres, and only a little portion of that had been drilled looking for oxide gold in the top 50 metres until about a year ago. We've now drilled it out over a kilometre down to 400 metres depth. And the best drill holes are the deepest holes. And we've seen extremely good mineralization. I mean, this is one of the better discoveries, if not the best discovery outside the mines that's been made in Victoria in the last 100 years, literally. It's a big ball, but it's a very good discovery. And it's wide zones. We're seeing 10 to 30 meter wide zones at sort of the 4 to 5 grams, and then the very thinner zones from centimetres to metres running ounces. And one good rule of thumb is that Newmont, who is a shareholder of Mawson, once told me any three holes that go 100 gram metres, so timesing the grams in a hole, so, 10 metres at 15 grams, mm-hmm. Would be metres times grams is 150. And anything that has more than 100 gram metres is a pretty good hit. And you've got width, or you've got grade, or you've got both. In Newmont, consider three of those 100 gram metre intersections in any one body as a genuine bona fide discovery for Newmont, the world's largest gold company. Wow. That's how they rule of thumb. We've already got 12 of those 100 gram metre hits in 10 kilometres of drilling. In Sunday Creek. So it's extraordinary. In 80 kilometres of drilling in Finland, where we've drilled out that million ounces in Mawson, we have something like 13 after 80 kilometres. We've got one-eighth the drilling and we've seen almost the same hit rate. So the hit rate is extremely impressive.
You're a geologist by background. Is this some of the best drilling you've seen in your career at Sunday Creek?
Yeah, absolutely. When you're a geologist, you've got to set yourself up for failure, because most of us fail continuously until we find something, and some geologists don't find anything. So by nature, we're optimists, and you'll talk to lots of geologists, and if you find an unoptimistic geologist or non-optimistic, whatever it is, a pessimistic geologist, then they're set to fail automatically, and I don't think there's any of us. But you do know when you're onto a system, and we've got a genuine bona fide discovery here, and how it will play out is the exciting part of the story here. Now, how big can it get? It's been drilled out over a kilometre down to 400 metres, as I said. It's open for 10 kilometres with historic mines that have never seen drill holes. Wow. So this can be a nice big discovery, but it's got the grade and the continuity that we want to see in the in this early stages.
Well, Michael, you certainly sound pretty excited, but I guess from a shareholder point of view and shareholder value, it's about figuring out how big this is and getting the work done. Now, I know from your history that you're very good at getting the job done and not just sitting back and scratching your head and thinking, well, let's work this out for a long time. You are good at getting on with the job. So what I want to know is, you've raised the money, you've still got 8 million. What are you doing with those shareholder funds? Is it all focused on Sunday Creek, or are you going to look at Roo? You're going to look at Redcastle? What are you doing?
Yeah, so we have Sunday Creek outright. That's owned outright by Southern Cross. That will be the focus, without a doubt. But we do have joint venture commitments, and we do have a bona fide discovery at Roo that we made earlier this year, late last year. We've hit something like half a metre at 50 grams there, the best drill hole in 160 years since that whole field, a 15-kilometre field was discovered there or mined there. So there will be other dollars spent on the other projects, but certainly the majority will definitely be spent at Sunday Creek. And we do have projects in Mount Isa undercover, but it's harder to allocate funds as we become more and more successful here in Victoria, drilling high-grade near-surface gold, and the Mount Isa properties are deeper, big elephant country type targets. So we've got to take a bit of a re-look at what we're doing up in Mount Isa in the context of how our discoveries are developing here in Victoria.
Yeah, we just going back a step for a moment, you've got one rig, you're looking for a second rig. Would you look at, because it sounds to me like there's a lot of drilling to be had ongoing, would you look at purchasing a rig so that you had total control and weren't beholden to, I guess, the drilling contractors?
Well, we're unfortunately not beholden to our drilling contractors. I say that there's one of the best drill crews I've ever worked with here in Victoria. It's based originally out of the Costerfield mine, and we drill at a very competitive rate. We'd never ever be able to drill at the rates that this group drill at for us, and they've got some of the best drillers. And I don't generally say that because it's a fraught relationship sometimes between geologists and drillers. But and they're one of our largest shareholders through writing a hard check into the company.
Oh wow,
a big hard check. So not just offsetting work or anything like that. It was a hard check like every other investor. So they know what's coming out of the ground. They see lots of projects, and they're backing us with their dollars also. And then of course that's obviously a very strong relationship. So we're well tied in there. So in a way, there's a cross fertilization in terms of ownership. Yeah,
it's staying with their drilling contractor, ladies and gentlemen, because they're invested in them as well, which is great. It's good to hear because, as you say, they've seen lots of projects before and they've put the hard check in. So that's good to hear. Now, Ngambi Resources, talk to me about them because they're in the area. They're building a processing hub, if you like. Have you got a 10% interest in them? What's the story around that?
Yeah, so Ngambi, we do have a 10% interest in Ngambi, yes. So we're the largest shareholder, single shareholder in Ngambi. And that came about because we had a multifaceted deal where with Mawson at the time, where we issued shares to each other based on a valuation and got some cross ownership. We kept every share of Ngambi's that we held, and we did that for one main reason, is that we also signed with that share agreement a right of first refusal over their 3,000 square kilometres of land. So that includes the Ngambi mine itself. So we have a right of first refusal over every project of Ngambi's. We're a major shareholder of Ngambi. We're in joint venture with them on two projects, Roo and Redcastle that I've mentioned. And having that 10% shareholding is really important because, as you mentioned, they're in conjunction with another private company, Golden Camel, building a CIL processing plant just down the road from us. So it really gives us the opportunity to toll treat any one of our projects, at least in the early stages of the project. Depends on how fast we want to get there and how big we create in terms of an operation. But it's really is a fast track way for us to get on the ground running by trucking that relatively short distance to an existing mine site, historic mine site, and a new toll treatment plant, which is really quite an important event for Victoria overall too. But having the major shareholding is obviously gives us that foot in the door. And one thing I should also say is at Sunday Creek, we have just concluded the freehold purchase of 300 acres. So we're going to really control our destiny at that project in terms of land access.
Oh, okay. So you own the land. You don't have to get, you're not working with local landowners. You actually own the 300 acres now.
Correct, which contains every drill hole and in and around that that area where we've been drilling for the last 18 months. So it's we're really working towards success here. We've got the freehold, we've got the discovery, we've got the optionality on a processing plant, and really playing to win.
How do you see the next couple of years spinning out? I shouldn't use the word spin out, should I? How do you, Michael, your history is of making things happen. And we all know that in the mining industry, things can take quite a while. Sounds to me, from what I'm listening to, and I'm sure our community is, that you're fast tracking things without, I guess, cutting corners, if you like. Are you always got your, not eye on the prize, but, you know, looking at shareholder value and making sure that you are delivering in a more cost-effective way?
Yeah, maybe it's through the school of hard knocks and lots of head scratching that's left something a bit thinner than it was. But the way to succeed in a junior exploration company and to make money is, of course, get the timing right. And that's out of our control in terms of, you know, when gold takes the next uptick and people really focus on gold again. But having continuous news flow, building a resource in a rising market, and building in the enthusiasm ultimately to get taken out in that rising market is important. Now, yes, you've got to have the grades and widths, but you've also got to have the permits. We're fully permitted for drilling. We're taking that access risk away that we didn't have, but we're future-proofing it in buying the freehold. You've got to be on your A-grade game and have all the relationships right. And certainly there's no shortcutting in the mining industry at all, and there shouldn't be. You know, as we mentioned off camera, we've got a GM who's ex-Newmont, and she's a real superstar. She just won the Exceptional Woman of the Year award for the Victorian mining industry. So, and that's reflective of the culture and the relationships that Lisa Gibbons is building there. So it's certainly having the commercial focus, having the social focus these days. We work very closely with the native title holders of the land, the Tangarang. They consult to us on environmental matters. They're doing a lot of our baseline study work. Having the freehold will allow us to do a lot more collaborative work with them going forward in terms of land use management. So it's a very holistic view in how you get there quickly, but certainly bringing lots of drill rigs to the table, having that success and everything around that is very important.
We've run out of time, Michael. I'm so sorry. I just looked and went, oopsies. Michael, let's wrap this all up. Let's sum this all up for not only your current shareholders, but our community out there that loves to hear stories like this. And, you know, they all know me as that gold lady. So I love this commodity. And by the way, I think your timing is impeccable. Let's sum it up in three reasons you think our community should sit up and take notice of ASX code SXG right now.
Well, it's pretty simple and we've covered them all. Number one, you can't get anywhere without width and grade and continuity. So you just don't want those high grade hits that you're not following up. So we've got all of those three in spades. The project is building towards a resource. Secondly, we have that knowledge on how to build things quickly in this business. So we've got the people who can build things. We've drilled out 1 million ounces in Finland. We're taking that same expertise and applying it here. And then the key point is that as part of that building it quickly, the third point is that we have a baked-in discovery. We have a baked-in discovery. We're fully permitted. We have the money in the bank. And the news flow that's already baked in, we've got drill holes that we drilled even before we'd IPO'd. We're not promising you a discovery. We've made a discovery, and you can follow this story very closely, and you'll know you'll have continuous news flow with a discovery that's building out to be what looks like one of the most significant discoveries in Victoria in the last 100 years.
Wow. I just have one final question. When do you reckon you'll get a maiden resource out?
Within the next year. We're a bit of a victim of our own success in that we've taken some very big step outs down to 400 metres and beyond. They're big 100 metre step outs, but they all hit.
So we've got to
drill more to drill that out, right? So it's just a balancing act on scale and timing, really, to get that resource. And we'll refine that, but ultimately we'll need to bring more rigs, and we've talked about that to the table.
Fantastic. Well, Michael, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you 1 week after listing. First of all, congratulations on that. And of course, congratulations to Lisa Gibbons on her award of, what was it, the mining?
Exceptional Woman of the Year in Victorian Mining.
We love exceptional women. Well done. Congratulations, Lisa. Michael Hudson from Southern Cross Gold. Thanks so much for joining me on Small Caps today, even.
Thanks, Kerry.